We're talking with Tracy Evans, the ride director. Welcome, Tracy.
Well, hi, John. Thanks for having me. Oh,
absolutely. I'm so excited. The ride is 70-some days away.
It's going to be here in 1 minute is when it's going to be.
So there's people listening from the West Coast all the way over the East Coast. Tell them what the annual AIDS Life Cycle is.
Well, AIDS Life Cycle is, as you know, because you've done it four times.
I have. I love it.
AIDS Life Cycle is a 545-mile, 7-day bike ride from San Francisco to Los Angeles. That ride happens June 2nd through 8th, and it is a major fundraiser for the Los Angeles LGBT Center and San Francisco AIDS Foundation. In fact, last year we raised $16.7 million.
That is amazing. And how many riders? It's a couple thousand every year, right?
Yeah, last year we had 2,300. We're going to be very similar this year. And not only do we have 2,400 cyclists, we have 650 roadies who are full-time volunteers who come for the whole week to help support the ride.
God bless those roadies who do the food and help with the tents and move the luggage around and everything
else.
They do
it all.
They're incredible. I remember when I did the ride, it's been a while now, it's been a few years since I did it, but it was about 50-50 women to men. Is it still about the same? Or?
Well, we run about 25% women.
Oh.
About a quarter women. About 75% men.
Oh, maybe it was just my perception that I was just surprised.
You just saw all the ladies everywhere.
I was riding mostly with the women. I was riding with the women. Yeah, it was an amazing week. Amazing week.
It's great.
But it was very mixed. It was, you know, LGBT and straight allies and everybody under the sun.
We have it is really, truly a diverse community of men and women. We have a growing population of trans folks. In fact, this year we have a team called Bikes Not Binaries, which is our first all trans team. We're super excited
about. Oh my God, that's amazing. And
we've got people from every walk of life, and it's a special community who all come together to do something really amazing for themselves and for the world. And hopefully by the end, if we've all had a great time and done a great job, it's a community that's just moving brightness through the world.
And I mean, I have to help describe this for people because it's hard to imagine. But you got 2,400 riders and 600 roadies, and it's a group of people moving down the state of California.
Yeah.
Setting up camp every, depends, 20 to 80 miles, right?
Right.
And tackling hills and wide stretches of road. And the big day, I remember, was like 110-mile day.
Yeah. Day two.
Day two. It's like pedaling from Los Angeles to Palm Springs. That is the equivalent, right?
I mean, you know, don't scare the people, John.
<I know. laughs> but it's flat. Jason, it's flat. I swear. It's possible. If I could do it, anybody could do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that day two from Santa Cruz to King City, the thriving metropolis of King City. And but that's a really fun day, too. There's a lot going on from the Otter Pop stop to stopping and eating deep-fried artichokes and all kinds of other shenanigans along the way.
Yeah, and I will tell people, because I'm over 50. I'm somewhere between 50 and death, I'll tell you all. I could do it, kids. I'm telling you, I could do it. And you can eat anything and everything because you burn so many carbs on those bikes.
You do. In fact, the most popular thing about camp is having a second dinner.
Yes.
You know, we feed you, right? We feed you all your meals every day, and you can eat as much as you want. And we encourage people to eat as much as they want because it's not a time for a diet. You're burning lots of calories and you need a lot of fuel.
I remember when I did the ride, we used to have these really hardcore, pee on the air? I'm just saying pee. I'm sorry. I hope I don't get dumped. But they would make sure that you were urinating because if you weren't urinating, it meant you weren't hydrating.
Yep.
And if you weren't hydrating, you could have a serious problem on the ride, right?
We want to make sure that, you know, people stay hydrated, that they stay fueled, and that, you know, people are, I was talking with someone just the other day, out in Palm Springs, in fact, into Palm Springs. We were at an event out there, and I was talking to a new cyclist who was worried about that 108-mile day, like, oh my God, how am I going to possibly do that? I'm like, you're going to get off the bike occasionally.
You're going to
enjoy the company of your fellow cyclists. You're going to stop for lunch. You're going to have rest stops. You know, one of the famous things along the way is rest stop 4 every day, which always does a
campy.
They have a lot of fun. But actually, all of our rest stop folks are amazing, and they just bring the fun so that you have a little break from the being on the bike, and it's not monotonous, and it's, you know, it's everything. It's inspiring. It's fun. It's hard. but hard is okay.
And it's great. And the biggest thrill for me was putting my iPhone down for a week. I mean, I could check my phone if I wanted to, but I didn't want to.
Yeah.
It was great to just unplug from the world and be part of a community of people that were all doing something for good.
Yeah.
For good.
Yeah. Right? It is a little bit magical.
Yeah.
So
it is. And I have to tell people, so you get up at dawn, right? You get up at dawn, you have breakfast.
Exactly.
And then, you know, with my pals, I would get on my bike and we'd start pedaling. And you know what? I'm a little faster than some of my friends and I'm a lot slower than a lot of other friends. And you'd end up breaking up and meeting new people on the ride that you might never see again. You just have like one day together.
Yeah.
And then you're off to the next set of people. It's magical.
It's really fun. It's
now,
a lot of fun.
The youngest rider and the oldest rider. How does the age range?
1880.
Wow. Well, you know.
So we probably could have younger, except our age limit on the low end is 18. So you have to be 18 to do the ride.
Right.
And, well, heck, you could be as old as you want to be.
Yeah.
I've been a long time endurance cyclist and have done a lot of ultra cycling. And I'm here to tell you, long distance cycling, older folks know how to pace themselves. We might be of a similar age, John.
Yes,
we might be of a similar age. And, you know, it's all about pacing yourself and not trying to be
it's
the first one out of the gate. It's not a race.
It's just enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's something that happens trance-like because what happened, people don't understand this. You can't play music in your ears while you're pedaling. It's against the law in California to have a headset in and be listening to music. So I was stuck in my head, right? So for the first hour, my head is zipping along about work and relationships and friends and family and what's troubling me or what I'm thinking about. But after an hour, my head would empty out of all thought, and it would just be my legs moving in rhythm. I could feel my heart pounding, the sun on my face, the wind on my cheeks, looking at the beauty of California.
I mean, it's very therapeutic, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. A different kind of meditation.
That's exactly what it was. It was a meditative state of trance. And I may have been sweating, and my legs, I didn't even notice they were tired anymore.
Right.
It was
just
pedaling, and I just need to get to the next rest stop. I just need to get to the next rest stop.
I do that I play games with myself in law, and I don't get to do the ride. Obviously, I'm working, but I am a cyclist, as I said. And when I'm doing long distance stuff, I like to play games with myself. If I get to this point, then I can make a different decision. But I never do. The decision is always to continue forward.
Right.
I mean,
that's
what the whole thing is about, right? Moving forward with the mission, moving forward to Los Angeles,
right? Moving with the pain and taking the pain along with me.
Yeah.
There's one day that's called the red dress day. And I have to confess, I hadn't put a red dress on in a long time, but I did. I did. And it was incredible because on that day, as people are winding up the hill, we're creating a big red ribbon on a hillside.
Day five, red dress day, is pretty spectacular. And for those who are listening who are familiar, which is probably about three people, because it's really in the middle of an isolated part of California, but there's a road called Lompoc-Cosmalia Road, which is the switchback road. And what a vision to have thought of back in the day to have everybody wear red that day and create the ribbon.
Mm.
It really does choke me up, but that's the serious side of it. The fun side of it is, oh my gosh, I love opening the route that morning. It is maybe my favorite part of the ride because I get to see every single person in their costume.
With boas and red and...
I mean, you know, last year it was... Oh, now I've lost my thought. We had many teams dressed up last year as... the women, the red cloaks. What am I thinking of, John? I'm sorry, I've lost my words.
Little Red Riding Hood? No.
No, not Little Red Riding Hood. Barbara Atwood. I'll think of it.
Okay.
Anyway, nonetheless, it's really fun to see how people just really take Red Dress Day and go with it. And, 2 years ago, we had someone dressed as Marie Antoinette.
I love it.
With a wig that was about 4 feet tall on top of their helmet. Crazy.
I cannot
just really
even
fun.
Imagine.
Just
We're
fun.
Talking to Tracy Evans from the AIDS Lifecycle. We're going to go to commercial break. We'll be back in a few here on Sidebar with John Durant. We're talking to Tracy Evans, the ride director. Tracy, I'm always curious why people get drawn to do what I call God's work, because obviously raising $16 million a year for people with HIV and AIDS, you could be doing anything in the world, but this is what you've chosen to do. Why?
Well, So I've been doing this kind of work for a long time. And I got involved with AIDS Lifecycle. This is my third ride. I wanted to do something in my community. And so I could look at many different aspects of AIDS Lifecycle and say, this is my community. Longtime cyclist, my community. Lifetime California resident, Southern California, Northern California, all over the state. That's my community. And the LGBT community is my community. So I set out a few years ago to make a change to go be more involved in my community. And look where I am. Here I am.
Yeah.
So that's why. And then on a more personal note, you know, I came of age around the same time you did.
Yep.
And I moved to San Francisco in 1993 and had and worked in downtown LA before that, and had coworkers, had friends who were part of the epidemic. And so personally, I wanted to do something that was going to contribute in the long term to people having long, healthy, thriving lives. And I've been doing that in another direction for so long, but this is personal.
It is.
Yeah.
If somebody is listening, it's not too late to sign up, right?
It's not too late to sign up.
And people come from all over the country to
do
the
And the world.
And the world.
Yeah, we have folks coming this year from Germany, Australia, Canada, and we'll probably have about 20 states represented. And yeah, people come from all over the place. You know, the ride attracts people for a variety of reasons. There's an incredible physical challenge.
Right.
So that's great. You get to see such a beautiful part of California.
Oh. It,
you know, California is such a diverse state, as you know, and you start in the great city of San Francisco and you end in the great city of Los Angeles, and in between is just spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to be part of helping us get closer to a world without HIV and AIDS. And at the end of the day, no matter why you show up, your contribution is helping to change the world. So, you know, I say, come show up. If you want to see California on a bike, which is the best way to see any place in the world, come see California on a bike. We are going to ask you to raise some money to do that, but you're going to be part of something that's so much bigger. People say, you know, what's the outcome of AIDS Lifecycle? I'm like, it's so hard to describe because it's so much bigger than any one of those things.
Right. And people sign up and they each raise $3,000. Is that right?
$3,000 is the minimum.
And people may think, oh my God, I could never raise $3,000. Of course you can.
Yeah.
Family and friends will support you.
Yeah.
And support you getting on that bike and raising money for a good cause.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. People who have never done something like this are always surprised and in a good way about how their community supports what they're doing.
Right.
And why, because what they're doing is really supporting the amazing work of two incredible agencies.
Yeah. And if you don't have the clothes and you don't have the bike, all of that's manageable, right?
Right.
I'm helping remove obstacles here.
Yes.
Because I know when I first thought about the ride, I'm like, I don't have a bike and I don't have the cute outfits and what am I going to do?
Yeah. I mean, we have, There are ways that we can help get you connected to a bike. If you don't have a bike, you can't afford a bike. We have a gear swap in both Northern and Southern California where we can help you get clothes that other cyclists who have come before you have donated. We can help you figure out what you need and how to be successful on the ride. We have training rides all over California and, well, particularly in the Bay Area and here in Southern California. And we have folks who can help you be successful in that. We have cyclist reps who are really your fundraising coach, if you will. They'll help you come up with ideas on how to raise money. And if you want to come along as a roadie, we also have folks who are going to work with you to be successful in being a roadie. And
roadies do everything from first aid to massage to preparing meals to moving luggage to riding alongside the ride to look for riders in peril.
Yeah.
Those are all the things the roadies do, right?
All kinds of things for roadies to do. And so we would love to have you all come and join us.
Yeah. And even the roadies help raise money, right?
The roadies are crushing it. In fact, right now, our number three fundraiser at the moment is one of our roadie captains from Gear and Tent. And roadies raise a lot of money as well. They're not required to, but certainly people want to get on board and help contribute as much as possible. So,
you know, I know when I did the ride, there were some really athletic women and men, and I was watching them. I'm like, oh, I can never do what they're doing. But for the most part, it was the average Janes and Joes that I just fell in love with on that ride. People who came from all walks of life that just wanted to do something. And we were in no rush. You know, let the athletes go. You know, you open that opening line in the morning and off they go, zip.
Yeah.
And the rest of us, we're just going to get there when we're going to get there.
Yeah. 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 You know, the course is open every day until 7 o'clock. And we open at 6:30 or maybe even a little earlier some days. And folks take the amount of time that they need. And yeah, it's the average folks who make this ride, like that make up the majority of folks on the ride. Yeah, certainly. There are fast people.
Of course.
Certainly, there are really fit people. And there are folks like me who just get in a groove on a bike and like to go.
Yeah.
So
I'm in that group too.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm in that group.
I love it.
If people need more information, is there a website or how can they get more information about all this?
Yes, there is a website. AIDSLifeCycle.org will get you all the information you need to get. And we are there to help. So if you go to AIDSLifeCycle.org and you don't see the information you're looking for, there is a place where you can ask for more info and one of our great folks will get right back to you and help you out.
Yeah.
Because we would love to see everybody on the ride or supporting the ride.
And I would tell you listeners, just do it. Just do it. I can come up with 100 reasons for me not to. And when I finally just said, you know, I'm doing it, all the obstacles just fell away. Because they were all made up anyway.
Yeah.
And maybe that's one of the lessons of the ride. Because, you know, everyone starts out thinking, I can't do 545 miles. How can I pedal a bike from San Francisco to Los Angeles? I can't. And then you do. And then I did. And I did. And it suddenly broke through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember there were times on the ride where I was just remembering friends who died of HIV and AIDS and stuff I had to clear out of my memory banks that just to be there with the same group of people.
It's interesting. We're at a very interesting time because certainly we lived through such a moment in the epidemic, but we still have more than 1 million people in the United States living with HIV. And people say, oh, you know, it's not that urgent. It is urgent.
Yep.
We've gotten so far in this fight, but there's so much more to do. And the folks who are the highest at risk face the biggest obstacles. So this ride is helping us to bridge those gaps, to bust stigma, to help folks in communities of color where there's a lot of stigma around queer folks. Like, we want people to be able to get access to PrEP. We want people to be able to get tested. Do you know that this year, close to 40,000 people in the U.S. will become infected and one out of seven will get tested and get a diagnosis? So, like, there's so much work to do. Francisco AIDS Foundation and Los Angeles LGBT Center are on the cutting edge of helping change that. So that's, you know, I wanted to just talk about that a little bit because it's so important. And that's, the ride is directly helping with that.
You are doing God's good work on earth. Thank you so much. Tracy Evans from the AIDS Life Cycle. Thank you all for tuning in to Sidebar with John Duran here on Channel Q.